Before we get into the fruit of the Spirit, I'm giving some messages that I think will tailor toward the fruit of the Spirit message. I've done a few things to convict us in our need to grow and need to rely on the Holy Spirit. And then when the fruit of the Spirit series starts, we'll hit the ground really convicted that, yeah, we need more of the power of the Spirit in our lives. And the name of this message is Do Not Forsake Fellowship. Do not forsake fellowship. Amen. So it's important that we are in fellowship with one another. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Do not forsake the fellowshipping of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. Some had fallen away. Do not forsake the fellowshipping of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. But it says, gather together all the more, as you see the day of Christ approaching. Is the day of Christ approaching sooner now than it was when that was written by the author of Hebrews? How much closer? 1,900 years closer or so, right? So we need to get together even more. And that was a persecuted church. But they got together and were warned to get together. But sadly today, during COVID, many people stopped getting together, okay? And many people, I was talking to a sister recently, and she said she was talking about people that she fellowshiped with that she doesn't fellowship with anymore because when COVID came, they stopped going to church, and they haven't been back since. And I think if I remember the conversation correctly, the implication was that they're not walking with Jesus anymore, you know? They're not in fellowship anymore. A lot of churches shut down because churches sometimes are on a shoestring budget, and ultimately it's the Lord that provides, amen? But a lot of churches shut down because they couldn't pay their rent or whatever, you know. A lot of people weren't, and it's like, what is going on? And by the grace of God, I praise God because this fellowship did not get weaker through COVID. We never told anybody, you can't come to church. In fact, we met many, many times here. When they first talked about how deadly it was and you're going to die like flies, you know, we were very, very careful. We tried to be careful, you know. And I told Lenny, he came one Sunday for sound, and I told him no because he needed quadruple bypass. And those guys were dropping like flies, and Lenny was very unhealthy. I said, Lenny, man, please do not be around brothers and sisters, you know? And we did have a lot of people. We met, but we warned people, if you get together, it's deadly. So we encouraged people to let's wait this out. But I still came and preached the live stream. And when people showed up, we never shoot them away. We didn't say, you can't be in fellowship. Then we met in my backyard a lot of times. We met in the parking lot a lot because it's, you know. And we lost Paul Hadley. Not Paul Hadley, but Paul Hadley died. And he was younger than me of COVID, you know. In our fellowship, he had moved. I think he moved to Idaho. Was that right? Tennessee? Yeah, don't blame Idaho, right? Tennessee, you know. He died of it, you know, and I was concerned, you know, at first they were trying to figure out what this was, and my mom, I'm like, we need to be respectful, and we need to love our older people, amen, and be protective of them, and wise, too, so we see what this thing is, amen. So, but at the same time, we continue to try to find ways to get together one way or another, you know, and a lot of we meet together in groups during that time, and but we warned, okay, be careful, we don't know how this is, but one thing we did is when people showed up, when we initially were saying, okay, we're going to do live stream, we didn't make a rule. Nope, you can't be here. We still fellowshiped in various ways. But what happened was a lot of people throughout the body of Christ began to forsake the fellowship and themselves together. And it's not like the mark of the beast came out, you know. It's not like you're going to be killed. And that's all it took to get people out of fellowship and then eventually many of them out of the Lord, you know. Falling away, as the Bible says, apostasia, you know. That's sad. And we need to make sure if something else comes around, because they're warning that something worse is coming, that somehow, some way, we need to responsibly get together. And as a pastor, as a shepherd, I want to make sure no one was dying because of me. Oh, I'm going to brave this out. Yeah, everybody get together and hug one another, kiss one another, and not even knowing exactly what it was. Nobody knew exactly what it was, right? And all of a sudden people die like flies, that would be on me. Okay? I had to be very, very careful as a shepherd not to watch. But as I was seeing what was going on and so forth, it was like a lot easier for us to just, you know, I mean, we said, hey, maybe, you know, you could wear a mask, you know, and people come in, everybody take their mask off during the service. But we weren't like the Gestapo, get your mask on, you know. So, and that comes out, the studies come out, and the masks don't even, I'm sorry. That little thing that gets you sick is like microscopic, and it's like stopping a fly with a chain link fence. Okay, I'm just being honest, you know. But Fauci lied to us. We know all that. I'm like, oh, I better stop. I need to get into the word, man. But you know what I'm saying? Okay. Okay. Anyway, it's important not, to, you need to, in these last days, make sure as the signs of Christ coming back are way beyond what they were, you know, in the second century, third century, because Israel ceased to be a nation, right? Then Israel became a nation again, right? And we see this as one of the signs of the times, that, and there'd be hostility around Israel. Oh, has that happened at all? You know, I mean, there's all kinds of things going down, which I'm not going to delineate all the different signs of the times. I want to really, in a devotional way, encourage you and make sure you are making fellowship a priority. And praise God, if you're listening to me right now, you know, and you're doing the best you can. I know we have, people listening by live stream. You know, we love our live stream brothers and sisters. We wish we could just fellowship with you, and we wish you could be at our Feast of Charity. You know, we'll have 100, between 100 and 150 maybe people at my house later today, hopefully. But I wish you could all be there, because we love you guys. And we just had a sister from Philadelphia or Pennsylvania, a sister from, you know, Wisconsin visit last week. And then one of them, the one from Wisconsin, Sarah, she was there. Sarah here today? Sarah's back, right? She was here Wednesday too. Good to see you again. She goes, I work remotely, so I'm going to stay another week in fellowship with you guys more. So we love, and I love seeing the faces of people that just write into us and are part of the fellowship that I never met. So it seems like every week we get different people visiting from somewhere. And we love you guys. Just let you know, you guys are, we treasure you guys in Christ. So, but it's important that we all find the best fellowship we can. Amen. And the early church began meeting on Sundays. The Jews were meeting on the Sabbath, right? Saturday. And the early Jewish Christians began to meet on Sunday because they wanted to commemorate the fact that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. Amen. And they were meeting every Sunday morning, you know. And Sunday was a work day. It wasn't a day off in those days. So they made a priority to get, and you're already waking up from Saturday, getting ready for work. And they're like, no, I'm going to get up extra early and be in fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And that, now, guess what? That was a lot harder than what we have to do, isn't it? Unless you're like, no, Joe, I got to work till midnight, but I'm here anyway. Praise God. Because that's how the early church was. They made it a priority. And we need to make fellowship a priority. Especially because in the last days, we know that there'll be a lot of persecution. And the early church, I was reading, I read once in a while Trajan's letter to the emperor, and he was an official of the Roman government that was, they were trying to stamp out Christianity to a degree, and he was reporting on these Christians, you know. Christianity was growing. And by the way, Christianity was very unique because the Romans didn't worship regularly like the Christians. They got together on the holidays and did a lot of debauched things at times. In the Roman, there weren't a bunch of meetings taking place weekly, unless it was like a business guild or what have you, which we'd talk about religion and stuff, but it wasn't all, but the only ones getting together weekly, specifically in the Roman Empire, from what I've seen, the empire during those, for the first, you know, during a couple centuries, was Jews and Christians. Isn't that interesting? And the Christians were getting together. Trajan says they get together and they sing a hymn to their God, to Jesus, as though he's God. By the way, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses need to recognize that Jesus is God. Even the early, they were witnessing that the Christians understood that Jesus was God. And they got together weekly, okay? And they got together and fellowshiped, and they talk about that and so forth. And it's just so interesting because of, and they would talk about their love. And Christians, another early critic of Christianity says, they call each other brothers and sisters, you know? They must be incestuous, because he says, I don't know, really know what goes on with them. He admits that when he writes, but he says, but they call each other brothers and sisters, because we have a new family, man. We're a family in Christ, amen. Jesus, our God is Abba Father, amen. And Jesus says, you know, who are my brothers and sisters? But those who hear the word of God and what? Obey it, they keep it, amen. So we are a family in Christ, and we get together. This is our spiritual family, you know. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, it's amazing because the Bible compares us to a temple. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we're called living stones. Living stones are to be connected to each other, amen? And that's why it's vital that we're in fellowship. We're also called a body, the body of Christ. And it says in Ephesians, it says in Romans, that we are members of one another. And the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Yeah, until you get a speck in your eye, right? Then you need that hand. Nope, you don't need me. You said I'm not. No, I'm sorry. But, you know, it just doesn't work that way. We need. I need my hand, man. Thank you, Lord. You know, you get up in the morning, you go like that, man. You know, it's like, thank you, hands, you know. And by the way, the hand needs the eye because, you know, we need to see, you know. We need to get around. We need our feet. We need everything else. And when part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. Amen? Right. I was sprinting to church, literally breaking into a sprint, which is for a big guy at 60 years old, it's probably not the wisest thing to do. And my knee blew out. And it got twice the size of that knee. And my whole body was like bumming out, you know. Because in one part, now I'm doing better. In fact, things are a lot better. Thank you, Jesus. But you start to realize how important one part of the body is. And every part is significant, amen? And we need to encourage each other as part of the body. And I love the husband-wife relationship, the two become one flesh, amen? And it says, the Bible says, you know, if you nourish your wife, you're really nourishing yourself. You know, no one has yet hated his own flesh. But that's the way the body of Christ works as well, because we're the bride of Christ, one with Christ, and we bless one another as we're in fellowship with each other. There's great joy that comes from fellowship. A lot of times people get out of fellowship, they get in a funk, they do whatever. Maybe they get all bombarded by entertainment. How boring is that after a while, you know? It's just going to leave you empty, you know? Or they get involved in some kind of sin, and putting anything before Jesus is sin, pornography or whatever. We talked about pornography leads brain damage, you know? Done showing you some of the studies, you know, or they start getting drunk or smoking pot. It just destroys their lives, and there's no joy in that. Like the Lord said to Cain, because Cain wanted to kill his brother Abel, he was envious of him. He says, why is your countenance fallen? He was all in a funk. He was depressed, Cain was. Says he was of the evil one. There was no joy in that, man. He wasn't loving his brother. He was hating on his brother. When you love your brothers, your countenance is lifted up. When Jesus says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. When you give and you seek to be a blessing to others, you experience joy. Paul writes in Philippians 4:1, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. And he's in prison when he writes that, and he just longs to be with his brothers and sisters in Christ. They're his joy. They're his crown. And God allows us to experience joy because he created us to be in fellowship with one another. It's like the cells of our body. Those cells are dependent on one another. A rogue cell will die. And many rogue cells, when they multiply, they're called cancer. And they could really hurt the body, amen, if they're not destroyed. And we need to make sure that we're building one another up in Christ. Amen. Speaking of joy, 1 John chapter 1, listen to this, verse 3. And following, what we have seen and heard, that is Jesus, they've seen him, they heard from him, they're the apostles, the apostolic witness, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Because our fellowship is centered in Jesus Christ. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Wow, that we could have fellowship with the God who made us in Jesus' Son. These things, he says, and I love this, these things we write to you so that, you're writing these things, John, by the Holy Spirit, this prescription. So what? He tells us, these things we write so that our joy may be made what? Complete. He wants our joy to be complete. And the fellowship with the Father and the Son, in connection also with the brothers and sisters in Christ, brings incredible amount of joy, you know? I mean, how many of you know it? When you get together with your brothers and sisters and your heart's right with God, there's a lot of joy, amen? It's meant to be that way. It's why the way God made us, and it's so vital, so important. Because we need to experience koinonia. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. If you're taking notes, which I see some people scribbling around, which is great. K-O, that's why we try to keep the lights on, you know. I hate turning off the lights. People take your notes and you turn off the lights. But we have a really beautiful gift that's going to really bless the fellowship coming. I don't know when it's going to come. It may be a month. It might be 3 months. I don't know exactly when. But it's being donated to us through a couple of people that are in it, through a ministry, okay? It's being donated to us, okay? But a couple of people said, yeah, they want to they're going to use their funds to allocate toward it for our fellowship. So we have a nice screen in the back, right? Because we've been trying to redecorate for a long time. So it'll be a big screen in the back. And we'll put scripture up there. We'll put songs up there. And we're going to be showing the movie Noah. You know the movie Noah? It's coming out pretty soon. Really, it's going to blow people away. A guy that became a Christian that was a Disney animator. He's put out some amazing stuff. He loves our ministry. He actually wrote into me and said, Joe, I'd love to team up with you and do a post-trib video, you know? But his art is just amazing. And the movie Noah, bunch of different scholars and stuff responding to questions and so forth. We're going to show that. And he's like, you should see his dinosaurs and everything. Mind-blowing, you know? It's just in the trailer. And we're showing a Marvel update, a new Marvel video, a rock and roll update, which, Lord willing, be done this year. One also on country. Sorry, country fans. You want to make sure you put Jesus first in your music too, right? Not singing about doing adultery and drunkenness and stuff like that. Well, I don't listen to that kind of country music. Well, I'm not talking to you then. Okay. talking about those that are listening to that stuff. It's glorifying adultery and drunkenness. And we've got a number of movies we're going to show. And the cool thing is you don't have to turn the lights off with this. It's LED type screen. So we're excited about that. So pray that that would all work out. And it doesn't cost Blessed Hope. You know how much it's costing Blessed Hope Chapel? Zero. So be thankful. Amen. Anyway, excited about that. But guys, and we have more and more fellowship, you know, in various ways. But koinonia is a very, very beautiful word. It's one of my favorite words. K-O-I-N, okay? O-N-I-A-A, or I-A, koinonia. K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A. Now, you find this word in Acts chapter 2. If you can go to Acts chapter 2. Because God's called you to koinonia. Acts chapter 2, koinonia. It says in verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves. What does it mean to devote yourself? That's what God calls you to do, to devote yourself. Devoting themselves, being committed, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. By the way, it says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's why we emphasize teaching, doctrine, the word of God. Amen. A lot of churches, the pastor comes up, he gives one or two verses, and that's it. He tells 10 stories or 3 stories or 5. Good night. It's 20 minutes. Let's go. And people didn't grow in Christ that way. You fall away that way. Right. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to what? To fellowship, koinonia, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Okay, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things what? In common. Because they have the same master, amen, the same God, the same eternal hope, the same blessed hope, the same word of God, the same book, amen, the same doctrine, same teaching. And it's beautiful. And they were in fellowship. How often does it say? Look at it again in verse 42. They were on Christmas morning or Christmas and resurrection, devoting themselves to these things? No. Continually. You guys, God calls you to be in continued fellowship. Amen. Because you were created to fellowship with him and one another. We're to be together forever. Amen. It's beautiful. And it's interesting because in the early church, you read in the New Testament, you know, how they'd get together, and you read in the church fathers how they'd get together, and they got together a lot of times at homes because they didn't have buildings at first, you know? And then they got together in big homes sometimes where they'd, like when you read about the 120 plus probably now, at a certain point, but they'd get together at the Acts at, you know, Day of Pentecost. They'd get together in nice gatherings, and eventually they started renting buildings and buying buildings and so forth, the church. But they got together and they fellowshiped with one another and they'd have meals together. That was one of the benefits of having a church at a home, you know. There's different house churches mentioned, you know. Greet Aquila and Priscilla, you know, the husband and wife team, you know, who together they encouraged Apollos more accurately in the word. And it says, and the house, the church at their house, you see. And I want to encourage you, if things go down, it gets really gnarly in our country, which it can happen in our lifetimes. I mean, let's say Biden gets in again, right? And then you have, you know, I don't know if he'd make it through the term. Then you have Kamala Harris, whoever is his VP. And you just have the persecution ramping up. A lot of the liberals want to just, they want, they're done with Israel, you know? That's why there's infighting within the Liberal Party. And if they could write off Israel, they would, but they need the votes this right now. They can't lose the Jewish voter, they lose. And they can't lose the Muslim voter, they lose. So they're trying to, Biden is trying to kind of walk this tightrope with this party, you know? But persecution is coming. And it's very, very important that we find ways to get together. As I mentioned earlier, we don't want to let COVID stop us. We continue to teach, continue to admonish the fellowship. We didn't miss a week, you know, of getting the word out, encouraging our brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't miss time, you know. And like, say there is a really deadly disease that people are dying left and right, you know, all over the place. You still need to be in the word, you know, even if it's live stream. You need to be in the word. And you can't just receive it. You need to make sure you're encouraging your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? That's all very, very important. So I love this. They had koinonia. The word koinonia means, literally it means to be a sharer, a companion, one who is a partaker, a participant in communion, you know? So fellowship's so important. Now also, it's interesting because 1 John 1, 6 and 7 goes on to say, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. So we want to make sure we're walking with Jesus, that you're not just coming to church and living a wicked life during the week and then, oh yeah, well, I'm paying my dues. No, it doesn't work that way. You need to walk with Jesus. Amen. So you need to be true before God. And I think it's amazing because we're called to love one another. And I think it's important because in the last days, when Jesus said many would fall away, not some, many would fall away. He said the love of many would grow cold, and he said they would betray one another. There's a lot of one another's in the scriptures. That's one of the saddest ones I know of. Probably the saddest one I know. Brothers will betray one another. Brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, there are a lot of professing Christians ratting out those who continue to meet during COVID. Do you know that? And writing against them and speaking against them and so forth, you know? You guys are laughing over there. You guys go through something like that? He's shaking his head. Yes, you got ratted out? By who? Steve Aguilar would never do that. In fact, Steve was helping lead fellowship. Oh, family, okay. Don't put the camera on him. Let's keep him anonymous right now. I'm sorry, bro. Well, praise the Lord. Jesus said, we need to do the opposite. We need to love one another. Amen? Amen? Love one another. And in John 13 and John 15, you know, Jesus says, greater love does no one have than he lays down his life for his brother. Amen? And then he also said, you'll be known. Christians will be known because of the love for one another. And the world was tripping out when the Christians were getting together all over the Roman Empire in homes. That was not something they were seeing with anything else. The Jews would get together in synagogue, but the Christians would get together at homes everywhere worshiping Jesus. And it was transforming the Roman Empire. And that's why they even said they're guilty. That they would say they're guilty of incest because they're calling each other brothers and sisters, the leaders, you know. Christians got blamed by Nero, the emperor, for Rome getting burned down. They burned it down. They caused the fire. How? What? Well, they're not worshiping the gods, the pagan gods that we worship, and therefore the gods are angry, you know. And that's going to happen in the end times. You're going to be blamed for all kinds of crazy things, but you keep your focus on Jesus. But we need to love one another. And in contrast to Cain, who did not love Abel, and 1 John brings up what he did and how he did not love his brother. And he says that if you do not love your brother, he says, eternal life does not dwell in you, in 1 John. That's heavy. So we need to make sure we have love. If you never had the love for your brothers and sisters, you just don't love them. You don't want them. You need to get on your knees and get born again. You say, I was born again in the past, but now you got a root of bitterness that's sprung up in you. Then you need to repent of it and get right with God. Amen. You need to make sure you're right with God. Listen to these scriptures in 1 John, okay? It's easy to talk about love, but he talks about doing love. He talks about treating each other with love. 1 John 3:23. And this commandment that we believe in the name of the Son, Jesus, his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Amen? Amen. Amen. 1 John 4:12. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. 2 John 1:5. And now I ask you, lady, not as writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. You know, in 1 Thessalonians, there was a lot with the love of God. And I always tripped out in 1 Thessalonians because he commends the church of Thessalonica because their love for one another was strong. It was beautiful. Can someone turn down their cell phone? That music's kind of loud. I know, I was coming from outside. If that goes on for another minute, can you let them know, bro? Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. Maybe you could bring another brother. Okay, thanks, guys. Appreciate that. Oh, got a good wrestler going out there. So so anyway, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, they're a loving church, but you know what's a trip? Is they're encouraged to be more loving than they are. And that's important because we can have the status quo. Oh, I'm a loving guy. I'm a loving gal. And we can kind of rest on our laurels, rest on the lees, rest on the dregs. Okay, I get some of it. Now where are you going with this? You'll see in a minute. But we can kind of get comfortable with where we're at. And you don't want to do that because I love that Paul commends the church of Thessalonica for being a loving church. And this is a very loving church, okay? We have visitors come all the time and they're like, man, it's such a loving church. You know, when we had men's softball and I was playing on the team for years, one of the pastors later told me at a pastor's meeting, I was meeting, you know, I still do once in a while. It's hard to do it all the time. But I was meeting more regularly then with evangelical conservative pastors in Simi Valley. And Steve Pope heads that up. And it's just a beautiful group of pastors. And one of the pastors told me, he goes, Joe, I love playing your team in the men's league softball. Not only because we always beat you guys. No, he didn't say that. We actually won a couple championships. But he said, but because your guys are just so loving, you know. You're just so loving. And that's why you don't want to bring ringers on and stuff. And all of a sudden, you know, pollute your team with guys that are cussing and stuff, you know. But people walk in this fellowship, and you guys love on them. And that's good. But you know what he said? Don't think everything's cool with that. You know, I'm paraphrasing. But Paul's saying you need to love more. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 3:12, he says, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another. And what? To increase, guys. Increase your love. And abound in love for one another and for all men, just as we also do for you. To be more loving. And certainly more loving than the pagans. Thank you, guys. That was awesome. Appreciate that, man. Nico, you didn't have to put him in a full Nelson or anything, right? That's awesome. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. See the point I'm making with that church? Paul's like commending them. Wow, you're a loving church. He's not able to say that like to the Corinthian church, right? He has to explain to them what love is, right, and chasing them. But he's writing a loving church. He says, still excel more. And I never want to get to a point in my life where I'm like, you know, okay, I love my wife. I love my children, you know. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I've arrived. I don't want to do that, you know. I can honestly say, by the grace of God, I've been a pastor for a long time, okay? Since, what, 1990? So, man, that's 34 years or so. I've never had one issue with one brother that I was mean-spirited to and said bad things to and got angry with him and had an issue with a brother that I got angry with and we blew up with each other. Because I'm anything? No, by the grace of God, okay? I haven't had personal issues where I've said mean things to somebody and had an altercation with somebody. Now, there's times we had to confront people with sin, okay? But I didn't scream and yell. I would say, I love you, bro, but you can't do that. And if you're going to be in this fellowship, you can't be here. If you're going to be doing that, you can't treat your wife that way. You know, you got to get right. You got to repent. You know, this gal's not your wife or whatever. I've had many of those talks. Okay. But you won't be able to talk to anybody in this fellowship about, and I don't think you have that with Steve either, you know, my associate pastor, you know. Steve, I don't think you have that either, right, bro? Yeah, he's shaking his head no. What's this, brother? When he shakes his head no, this brother goes, what? No, I'm just kidding, you know. But that's all got by the grace of God. That's because the Lord transformed my heart. That doesn't mean at a feast of charity today I won't get angry, you know, and get someone in a full Nelson, okay? Because I could fall away, right? You know, for at least for a moment. Hopefully that doesn't happen, okay? That's not my heart, you know? By the way, I wouldn't try that with everybody now because the wrestlers in here, man. We're getting more and more of them. But anyway, you guys, we need to excel in our love toward one another, amen? So you know what? I pray all the time, and I just say this as a way of encouragement. I'm always praying, Lord, help me love you with my whole heart, soul, strength, and might, amen? In fact, I didn't even think I was going to be talking about this, but this morning, that was one of my prayers, you know? One of my prayers was, Lord, help me love you with my whole heart, soul, all my strength, all my might. And I even said it again, and I slowed down to think of each part, my heart, you know? All my heart, Lord, all my soul, that inner person, right? All my strength, everything I am, you know? All my mind, you know, may I love you with everything. Please, Father. Because I don't want to ever think I've arrived, and I know I have to excel, and I know I need to excel because guess what? If you love perfectly, you'd be absolutely perfect. You'd never, ever fall short of God's glory. And nobody here can do that yet, right? We won't be perfect until Jesus comes. That shows me I always have need to grow in my love. I always pray, Lord, help me love my wife as Christ loved the church. Help me love my brothers and sisters fervently from the heart. I pray that. I pray, Lord, help me love my enemies. That's the hardest one, right? People that are persecuting, that hate you, that want you dead or whatever, you know, help me love them. Amen? And we can't do that on our own because it takes more than eros. Eros is romantic love. It takes more than phileo, brotherly love. It takes more than storge, family love. Loving your enemy, that takes agape. Okay, that's the Greek noun for love, or agapao is the verb. It takes that kind of love, and that was a word. I've shared this with you before, but it's important. That word is often used of the most sacrificial kind of love, okay? It can be used also for loving the wrong thing, but when it's used in the New Testament, it's often used for the ultimate sacrificial love, the love that God has, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, okay? Agapao. And that's an alien love. That's a love alien to this world. Jesus says, what better are you than the pagans? The pagans love, if you just love your own, because the pagans love their own. So you guys say, well, I really love my brothers, my family. Yeah, well, the pagans do that. A lot of them, not all of them. They have phileo, natural love that God gave them to a degree, right? Fallen, depraved, nothing like the love that God calls us to, but we're in his image, amen? We're still his image bearers. But he's calling us to this greater love, and we can only have that kind of love by the power of God in our hearts, amen? By the Holy Spirit. That means we need to be praying. Amen? And when we ask, not according to God's will, it says we ask amiss, that we might spend our own desires. And we don't get the answer. But when we ask anything in accordance with his will, we have it. Amen? Is it God's will that we love one another deeply? Yes. Is it God's will that we excel our love for one another? Amen. I want to encourage you today. Make it a habit to daily pray to be more loving. And when you fall short of God's glory, that's a great time to say, because really it's a heart issue. Lord, help me love more. Help me love more. Help me not, I can't, I, you know, I had a, that thought was so wrong, or the way I responded to that person was not right. Help me love more, you know. When I said this or I said that, that wasn't from you, Father. That didn't come from a place of your spirit. Help me love more. Amen. So when you fall short, don't say, oh, I failed. Say, yeah, I failed. God, forgive me. But then say, Lord, strengthen me. Since you forgive me, now enable me and empower me by your Holy Spirit to love the way you called me to love. Amen? Help me to love even my enemies, because that's a hard thing to do. And the love of many will grow cold. And you know why it says the love of many will grow cold? It says because lawlessness will increase in the last days, Jesus said. Because it's going to get so ugly out there. You know, you're going to be, I'm so angry that they're letting all these illegal immigrants in and they're killing people everywhere and all this stuff. You're right. It's a mess. Democrats want to shore up their voting base. They give a bunch of free stuff to get more votes. Okay, and they don't care if a ton of people get killed. I'm sorry, a lot of them don't. They're about power. Well, the votes, I mean, yeah, you know what? Different states get more electoral votes, which is what happens during presidency, depending on your population. So if you strengthen the population of New York and these other states, they have more electoral votes. So down the line in 2030, when they look at the electoral votes and they restructure those, they have way more, and then they elect, you get way more voting power. So yeah, liberals love it. But I can keep going and going on that. You know why I don't keep going and going on that all the time? Because it just makes you angry. It just makes you upset. So I like to focus on Jesus. I don't stick my head in the sand. I think it's important that we know what's going on. Amen. We talk about what's going on. But we need to make sure we don't stay there. That we need to see what's bigger. More of what's going on. We need to see the bigger picture and make sure we realize that Jesus says when you see these things taking place, talking about the end time events, don't hang your head. He said the hearts of many will fail them for fear of things coming on the earth. Don't let that happen to you. Okay, don't hang your head, guys. He says when you see him, what do you say do? Look up, for your redemption is getting closer, amen? And there should be a lot of optimism. Every Christian should be incredibly optimistic. Well, wait a minute. We might get 4 years of Biden. But you know what? We get eternity with Jesus, and we're here just a short time. Amen? You know, we took my mom out for lunch yesterday, and Kathy was there, and Peggy and my sisters. It's good to see you guys, and my mom and Lisa and I, and we're fellowshipping, and we were talking, and then Peggy talked about how Kenny has this cool new job, you know. I don't know if she called it cool, but am I allowed to say that? Okay, good. I don't want to get shushed like grandma shushed, or mom shushed me, you know, because she opened her eyes. And he's like a superintendent, you know, at a construction site, you know. I go, that's great, because we're getting older. As older guys, man, it's, you know, as you get older, you can't do as much as you did, and you got to do a lot, but now you use your brain more. And Kenny, I was a tile setter with Kenny. He taught me how to set tile. Great tile setter. I learned to set tile with him. But, and she goes, and he does the finishing? Is it finishing? I go, oh, so he's a superintendent, and he's taking, what happens is when the trades are done and the house, they're leaving, he does make sure everything's completed right, you know. I used to work for a superintendent like that before I became a tile setter. And what you do is all the houses are for sale and they're getting ready to just be finished off, carpet and everything, walkthroughs, you know. And then my job was to go in and work for Kenny, the superintendent. I go, you did that. And I go, you go in and you just do your jack of all trades, master of none. You know, you do, you know, touch up paint, you cook, screw in the cooktop that the guy didn't finish, or you do a drywall patch, or you just do all kinds of things, whatever you can imagine that needs to be done to a house that didn't get finished. And I did that for a couple years, and I said, you know, the part about that job I loved the most, everybody would leave the track. And after everybody left, all the trades, nobody was there. It was like crickets. You know, the roads still weren't paved at this point. The water truck would come by and spray them so that the dirt would stay down. But all the windows would be open. Because when you're working in Southern California in the heat, it could be intense because, you know, you're working. And you, so all the everybody opens the windows. And I'd open the windows. You open the windows. So the house, almost all the windows are open. All the houses, they're shut from the day before because someone shut them all. Well, that was me. So I shut all the windows. I open them too when I'm working, doing something. But when everybody else would leave and it would be gone, desolate, then I had to shut every window, you know, shimmy the front doors, you know, make sure everything was secure, and then I'd leave. But after everybody else left trades, I was there for another hour and a half doing that. And so I said, but you know what I loved about that is I sprinted the whole way through. And I just sprinted up and down the stairs, and I'd shut the windows as fast as I could. I hope I didn't break any. I'd just boom, boom, boom. And then I'd get done. I'd go to the next room. I'd grab the wall in between the two rooms and swing around. And it was like clockwork. I'd up and down the stairs. I was a lot younger then. Probably wasn't good on my knees. I did that for, you know, just. And I'd get done in like less than a half an hour, you know. And I'd be driving because I got paid the same. If I get done, I get done. And I'm driving home, and I'd just be all this sweat. And I'd roll down the windows, and I thought, praise God, man. don't have to pray for a gym membership, you know. Get done quicker. It's so good for me, you know. I got married, I think. I had that job, I think, when Lisa and I got married. I think I was set tile after we got married or just before that. But I was in the best shape I ever was in my life. And my sister Kathy goes to me. She goes, you know, you remind me of that story where the boy gets a big box and for Christmas, and the box is a pile of manure. But then he starts digging through the pile of manure because he says, if there's manure here, there's got to be a horse under this pile, you know. And I go, that's funny. I told that story before, you know. But guess what? It's not based on a false reality. I was getting incredibly blessed. You know, I did a lot of jobs. I dug test pits. I loved it. I dug 15, 20. Tom worked with me. I hired him for a while under me. And, you know, now he's got his own gig going for quite a while now with his water. Living Water, it's called, right? It's awesome. And we'd work, but before Tom was there, and I loved digging, man. I'd memorize so many scriptures that way. And sometimes we get 15, 20 feet deep in the earth all the way down, you know. We should have been putting boards up and stuff, but we just went down. But I thought, man, I get exercise, and I get to memorize scripture, because it's not a lot of brains in that job. You just dig, right? When you're too deep, you use a bucket, you're using jackhammer, because you're getting into trying to get to the rock for working for geologists, and all those things. But guys, that's how all life is. At whatever situation you're in right now, you have the ultimate silver lining, which is the fact that God works all things together for the good. For those who love him and are called according to his purpose, no matter what you're doing, unless you're doing a job that's immoral. Oh, I'm glad he's saying that because my husband's telling me I can't be a stripper anymore. Thanks, Joe. No, I'm not talking about any job, but I'm talking about any job that, you know, you're not doing evil in your job. Amen. If you're doing evil in your job, repent and trust the Lord. Go somewhere else. Amen. Or if you're at a job where it's not an evil job, but you're doing evil at the job to make money, repent as well and don't do that. Trust the Lord. Amen. But wherever you're at in life, he says the present sufferings can't be compared to the glory that we revealed. Amen. It's just, and Jesus is coming back and this world is going down, but we have our mission to reach the lost. Amen. But in the midst of that, by getting together with one another, we can encourage each other. Amen. And minister one to another. But I don't say, I don't know what I was like before a Christian. I probably wasn't very optimistic, but I have all the reasons in the world to be optimistic because Jesus is Lord. And I don't, it's not just his return I'm waiting for, but we have fellowship with him right now. We have relationship with him right now. And when you go through a really hard time, he draws near to those who are of a broken heart. Amen. Let's say you're going, hey, I'm going through a really, really hard time. Well, guess what? Praise God that he can use that. That draw near to God, he says he'll draw near to you. So if you're brokenhearted right now, you're going through some kind of pain, don't turn to alcohol. Don't turn to something stupid that'll just destroy your life. Turn to Jesus and say, God, I'm seeking you. And it says he draws near to those who draw near to him. And he looks to the one who fears him and trembles at his word. And his heart, it says, he gives attention to the one who is of a broken heart. So no matter what situation you're in, there's God. What's more important than a relationship with God and having fellowship with the creator of the universe? Amen. The creator of the universe. I had a whole message recently on the burning bush. If you haven't heard that, you need to check that out and how awesome God is. But because you need to know if God just, oh, God, some abstract, it's not going to help you in you need to have theology. You need to understand the truth of who God is to really appreciate him and that he's also love. Amen. So this is all very, very important that we increase in our love toward one another. And we don't want to rest on the dregs. We don't rest on our laurels. What are the dregs? Here's a scripture about Moab, a wicked nation, has been at ease. They weren't increasing in their love. They weren't growing in a love for God and others because they were at ease since he's been at ease since his youth. He has also been undisturbed. Didn't go through any trials lately. Like wine on its dregs. Moab's been undisturbed like wine on its dregs. And he has not been emptied from vessel to vessel. What's he talking about here? Nor has he gone into exile. Therefore, he retains his flavor and his aroma has not changed. You know? And that's very, very interesting because when they would make grape juice, okay, and they would make wine, grape juice. Of course, when the grape juice was fresh, that's when it was just the best. You're yummy. Just You ever drink Welch's grape juice? And it's cold and you're thirsty and it's, ever since I was a kid, there's nothing like it. I try not to drink too much juice. I told you why so many months ago. I mean, it could be a treat once in a while, but if you drink juice all the time, it's not good for your kidney, everything else. It's just sugar, right? You got to be careful not to drink too much of it. Well, what about, no, I'm not. I mean, they drank some, obviously. Look at communion, right? And then it would ferment because you couldn't store it in refrigeration. And then they mix it with their water, right, to kill the polluted water and so forth so they could drink it, okay? In fact, sometimes when I talk about this, people get thirsty. Ronald's thinking about grape juice. He's going to go get some right now. but with the grape juice, when they smashed the grapes on rock with their feet, and then they'd store it, and they'd put it there, and what happens is the dregs, you know, right? And the impurities and would just all the dregs would go to the bottom. And they're called dregs. But you know what they do? They take that vessel and they pour it into another vessel to keep the dregs out. And then what would happen? The rest, there's still some dregs left. And they'd let that settle for a while. Then they'd pour it into another vessel, sometimes 5 or 6 times. Why? Because if you didn't pour the wine from one vessel to another, it would take on the aroma of the dregs. And it would be a drag, right? You'd have this terrible taste because of the dregs. And because they're not being poured from vessel to vessel. And it wouldn't be purified. It wouldn't taste good. Now let's, with that understanding, that's why biblical background is important to understand. Let's read that text again. And you'll see what he's saying about Moab. Moab has been at ease since his youth. He has also been undisturbed, like a vessel of wine that is still on his dregs. Like wine on his dregs. That's what it says next. Like wine on his dregs. And he has not been emptied from vessel to vessel, nor has he gone into exile. Therefore, he retains his flavor, and his aroma has not changed. Meaning, the aroma still stinks. It's not sweet. It's not beautiful. You know why God lets you go through trials? If he left you undisturbed and at ease all your life, you would rest on your dregs and you'd begin to stink. You wouldn't be a sweet taste. You'd be a terrible taste in the Lord's, a terrible aroma to his nostrils, so to speak. And that's how you'd be in the world. It's like the Dead Sea. We use that Galilee Dead Sea illustration sometimes. Galilee is teeming with life. It's beautiful. When you go there, it's like going to Tahoe if you go on one of Israel's trips. It's so beautiful, you know? And it's just teeming with life. In fact, I just met the guy that just bought, when we're on the Sea of Galilee, we go on the boats, you know, a couple of boats, and we just worship the Lord, owned by Jewish Christians. And I met the guy, a young guy, that actually bought them, and I just met him at the Christian Broadcasters, or Religious Broadcasters Convention, and we had a great talk for quite a while. And a couple of his guys were there, and we're chatting, and we're excited because he's like, man, I said, yeah, we've done that. I'm so glad to meet you and stuff. He's all about Jesus, and it's exciting. But it's beautiful. But when you go to the Dead Sea, it's totally different. Why is it different? You guys know, right? Because it's what? It's dead. Nothing lives in it. No marine life lives in it. It's full of salt. In fact, I'm the kind of guy that my whole family is built like this. You know, that when I get in water, I sink. You know, even Josiah, it's in our genes. Josiah's shaking his head up and down, you know. And Josiah, he's like, I'm throwing the other kids out of the pool, out of the pool, into more of the pool. When they were young, I'd pick him up. He always seemed heavier. I'm like, he's not heavier than that guy, but he's not buoyant, you know. It's the thick bones or something. I don't know. But you know what? Guess what? I go to the Dead Sea, and I can just float because all the salt that's in there, dead. But it's dead because water goes in from the Jordan, picture the water of life, but doesn't come out. Amen? But in the Dead Sea, the Jordan, or the Sea of Galilee, water goes in, but it goes out. So as a Christian, you need to make sure that you allow the Holy Spirit, Amen. Who is depicted by water, to not only fill you, but that you minister, that you get together with each other, that you love one another, that you do things to be a blessing to each other. Amen? And by being a blessing to each other, you're going to team with life. You're going to be filled with life. Because the Holy Spirit, you don't want to be a constipated Christian, okay? You know, where you just receive, but you don't give out. Amen? That's just terrible, you know? I was talking to a sister, you know, And she had all this back pain way up here. I thought, oh, it's your kidneys, huh? She goes, oh, I went to the doctor and it's constipation. It just happened. It'll go for a long time and all packed up there, you know. Lisa's going like this, do not say the name, you know. I'll just say it's on Lisa's side of the family. That's all I'll say. Nobody that goes here, but, you know. I never heard of such a thing. She was complaining about it for a while. I got this pain up here, you know. Well, guess what, man? When you just receive but you don't give, you're going to be in pain. And you're going to stink, okay? And you're going to explode eventually. I'm sorry. I better stop this. I don't know where I'm going with that one. It's not in my notes. So that's when I get dangerous. But anyway, I was just going to talk about dregs, not the, you know, Dead Sea and constipation. But it's important that we give, that we receive. But it's better to give than to receive, amen? And that we let the Lord use us. That's where the joy is. If you come to just like, I wonder if anyone's going to say hi to me today. I'm just going to come and see if people love me. Well, you're focused on yourself. You're not taking up your cross, denying yourself, following Jesus. You obey the Lord. You love others, amen? And what happens when you start to love others, guess what? It's easier to love you because they see that you don't have that, you know, kind of constipated, whatever that looks like, okay, I don't know, you know. But we need to just love each other and pray before you get to fellowship, not just here, Feast of Charity later today, with your brothers and sisters that you're going to meet with, a Bible study, right? Wherever you're going, always pray, Lord, help me be loving. And then you can take your spiritual temperature. You know if you're being loving or not. You know, are you encouraging each other? Are you ministering one to another? And Peter says this, 1 Peter 1:22, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Now that's not just be nice and kind and love. Fervently love each other. That's why I pray, Lord, help me fervently love. And I haven't arrived there where I'm 100% fervently loving all the time. Not even close, but I measure myself and I say, Lord, I want to make sure, you know, how am I treating my family? How am I treating my brothers and sisters in Christ? How are we treating one another with love? And it's so important. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. And you guys know this scripture, but it's great to be reminded. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to what? Stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Not what? Forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. But encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Amen. So what are we supposed to do in light of the fact that we're supposed to continue to get together? We're supposed to be stimulating one another to love and good works. What does that look like? What does it mean to stimulate one another to love and good works? You know, I pray that the young people in our fellowship are being stimulated by the leaders, and that's some of you because you're in rotation, right? To love and good works. Amen. That means you're thinking of ways to stimulate them, to encourage them to actually seek to be more loving themselves and to do good works for Christ. Amen. And we have a fellowship here that does good works. I mean, we had almost 100 people going on one Mexico trip. That's good. 100 people on a missionary trip. Our fellowship's not a mega church. So the percentage of people that are serious in this fellowship, that was years ago. We're doing, by grace of God, Jonathan and the crew up there with the Church of Mexico, a lot of wonderful things. We've got a trip coming up soon. But let's be involved in stimulating one another to love and good works. In fact, it's interesting, the Greek word there is episunagoge, for assembling. Episunagoge. Sunagoge is from sunagoge that we get the word synagogue. Jews met at a synagogue. It's a gathering. And what's a trip is that the noun is not used. Episunagoge is not used but a couple times. But the noun version of that word is used in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Remember it says, speak of Christ coming and our being what? Gathered together to him. Episunagoge. That's going to be the ultimate gathering. Amen. When all brothers and sisters, red, brown, yellow, black, or white, fervently love one another as children of God with Christ at his second coming. Amen. Is that going to be awesome? What we go through now is a foretaste of that. We get to taste the heavenly gift now, amen? We get to fellowship one another now. We get to encourage one another now. And it's so important. But notice the verse, and I pointed this out before, but I think it's so important to remember, and maybe you haven't seen it. The strongest warning in all of the New Testament against falling away is on the heels of this verse. Now, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 8 is maybe equally as strong. Some would say that's the strongest. I think this is, so I waver back and forth because I think they're both so strong. Sometimes it's Hebrews 6 to me, sometimes Hebrews 10. But look what he goes on to say. After he warns, don't forsake the fellowship of yourselves together. Don't get away from Christ. Whoever is listening to me right now, whether it's live stream or it's here, wherever you're at, or listening later by CD or whatever, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together, as is the habit of some in the first century because they were being persecuted. If we start getting persecuted, okay, because an antichrist spirit rises up to the point, because our country deserves judgment a long time ago. I was talking to Kathy yesterday, and we were all talking, but she was saying, you know, it's crazy when you look at France, and you're not allowed to abort your child until this date. And she goes, in our country, a lot of states, they allow it all the way to the last day of your pregnancy. Obama wanted you to be able to have your baby, and he fought for that bill before he became president. Born again, or born alive infant, you could just suck the brains out or kill them right there when the baby's delivered, you know, partway delivered, okay? He was a senator on the floor. Our country, Hillary, you know, 9 months, she's saying, all 9 months, and Clinton, our country's in verge of judgment. She was saying, yeah, a lot of the countries, and I've heard this in the past, but I didn't know that France's law, she was sharing with me, that they're a lot stricter than our country. We're like the most liberal country, pretty much, in killing babies and stuff. It's sick. We deserve judgment, guys. So judgment can happen. There could be all kinds of chaos on the streets and all kinds of looting and stuff, you know, which we've seen some of that, right? So it's important to keep your head on a swivel. It's important to be alert. It's important to be prayerful. It's important to be wise. But it's also important to keep your love light lit, which I did a message on that last week, to walk in love. Now, because if you get out of fellowship, that's a step away from the Lord's people. Amen. Yes. And he's the lamp that lights, he's the lamp, the seven lampstands, right? He walks in the midst of them. But you get away from the lampstand, you get away from Christ because you're not in fellowship anymore. That's a step away from Christ. If you willfully say, I don't really need Bible study, I don't need fellowship. Look at verse 26. For if we go on sinning willfully, these are those who are in danger of this, those who don't get together anymore in fellowship, verses 23 through 25. Verse 26, for if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth. And by the way, that's what it means to be a Christian, to receive the knowledge of the truth. Paul says God wills that all would be saved and what? Come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, these are people that got saved because they received the knowledge of the truth. But there no longer remains what? A sacrifice for sins. I mean, they had that sacrifice was efficacious for them. Verse 26, but a what? Terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Wow. That's why it's so strong. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much, look at this, in the New Testament, it's worse than in the Old Testament falling away. Verse 29, how much worse or severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified. And by the way, the word sanctified in the book of Hebrews is used for salvation. Okay, just read earlier in Hebrews 10, verse 10, I believe, and verse 14. It's talking about their salvation. And he tramples under the foot the blood of the covenant with his feet, the blood by which he was sanctified, and has insulted the Spirit of grace. That could be referring to blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Verse 30, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That should cause any of us. The love of God should motivate us, which we talked mostly about, and that should motivate us. Amen. I'm not going to go there, but do you remember Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and through 14? You remember Hebrews 3, 12? See to it there not be in, brethren, see to it there not be in any of you an unbelieving heart, right? And falling away from living God because of the hardness of your heart because of sin. But he goes on to say right after that, but encourage one another daily. Amen? Amen. Encourage one another daily. Amen. So important. We need to get together because we need each other. You cannot be a sharp Christian without other Christians in your life. Unless you're not choosing to be isolated and your heart's right and you're on the Isle of Patmos like John or you're thrown in a dungeon because you'll have Jesus, amen? Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. How many know that you don't stay sharp when you're not around your brothers like you ought to be? Because we correct each other, we encourage each other, we love each other. It's so important that we encourage each other. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore comfort one another with these words, you know, and he says in verse 11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. We need to correct each other. We need correction in a loving way. We don't want sin sniffers, right, and people that are trying to find fault in each other. No, you love each other, but when you know something's wrong, you lovingly encourage your brother. Amen? And we can counsel each other. So, oh, well, we leave that up to the experts. You got to have a degree in psychology, in worldly wisdom. Really? Our wisdom is from above, man. We have the wisdom of God. Amen? And you know what it says in Romans 15:14? And concerning you, my brethren, I myself am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness and filled with knowledge and able to counsel or admonish one another. Brothers and sisters need to be full of God's knowledge, amen, full of God's goodness as they store up goodness in their hearts so they can encourage and counsel one another. But if you simply just don't get together with people, how can you sharpen them? How can you be sharpened? How can you encourage them? How can you be encouraged? How can you admonish or administer them and warn them if you're not there for them? We need to be there for each other, amen? Amen. We need to love one another and encourage one another. So praise God, you guys are in fellowship today. Oh, by the way, we have a midweek study, if you can make that. Wednesday night study, I mean, we go deep in the Word. In fact, I just saw a sister wrote to us that, I just want to let you know I'm learning so much. She's not part of the fellowship live streamer. She goes, I just want to let you know, going through Timothy has just really blessed me because I'm learning so much about this book through these studies, you know. And it's about how the body's supposed to work. You know, the church is supposed to, what's supposed to look like. So we know what loving each other and looks like. Let's all please stand up and pass out the cup and the bread.